السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's English Khutbah, and the topic is the wasiyya, the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, who has encouraged us to adopt the way of khair, good, and ordered us to mutually support each other in piety. We praise him with a praise commensurate to the immensity of his rank, and I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration and worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in his oneness, the master of all, the true, the one who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our master, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the slave of Allah and his messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being the one whose advice was all encompassing and whose wisdom was all beneficial. O Allah, send your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways till the last day, amma ba'd, to continue. I advise you, slaves of Allah, and myself with an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, taqwa. For this was the advice of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being from the greatest of his wasiyya, which was the parting advice that he gave to one of the great companions, Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, who upon asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for such wasiyya, was told, ittaqillah haythuma kunt, have a God consciousness wheresoever you are. So brothers and sisters, whomsoever attains taqwa has attained to all that which is good. And from the perfection of such taqwa is the state of reverential awe we should have in front of our Lord. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is said to have said to some of his companions, "Usika an tastahi min Allahi azza wa jal kama tastahi min ar-rajul as-salih min qawmik." He said, I advise you to show reverential shyness with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as you would be reverentially shy or modest in front of a pious, upright person from your community. In other words, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was here bringing the concept of taqwa into its everyday lived reality. For the intention of taqwa is that you be conscious of the consciousness of Allah. For verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's consciousness takes in everything that is. He is the Sami', he is the all-hearing, he is the Basir, he is the all-seeing. And as so much as we arise in our state of individual consciousness, then we come to partake and get a glimpse of that universal, fully overarching consciousness. And that's why the highest of states of consciousness that we can aim for in Islam is Ihsan, which was defined as أن تعبد الله كأنك ترى. Is Ihsan is the state of spiritual excellence that was defined as worshipping Allah as if you were to see Him. In other words, it becomes a lived reality. But if not capable, then what you do is you know that فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ, that He sees you. And this is the state of muraqabah, which is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ رَقِيبٍ, He is over every single thing a diligent witness. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was encouraging us here in this hadith to say is just that you would be conscious of somebody who was a righteous person in terms of what they would be able to take in of your state, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-knowing. And so your consciousness of Him should be more, your consciousness for Him should be a lived reality. And this brings us to the concept of how consciousness or taqwa itself can be graded or gradated, in the sense that there can be people who are low, but through good deeds they become people of higher consciousness. And this was the advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave to Sayyidina Mu'adh. In other words, whenever we were to do something wrong, he advised him by saying, whatsoever you have done from wrong, then renew yourself for Allah with tawbah. Because brothers and sisters, tawbah literally indicates by its meaning this renewal, this inaba, this turning yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this state of tajdeed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is indeed what tawbah is. It is a realignment to the sense of truth, which is why the more a person perfects his tawbah, the more a person perfects his state of taqwa. And the way to perfect Tawbah, as we are all human beings and we all make mistakes, is to not only repent from those mistakes, but to follow it by that which is good, لِتَمْحُوهَا. In other words, to remove that which was bad by the doing of good. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ in his wasiyah to Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا عَمِلْتَ سَيِّئَةً فَأَتْبِعَهَا حَسَنَةً تَمْحُوهَا. Then he said, if you did something wrong, then follow it with something that is good, for that will remove it. And so this is from the greatest of the things the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about, which is the reality that at every single moment we have a chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the other things that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about is to hold firm to the fara'id, to hold firm to that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made obligatory upon us. And from the most obligatory of the actions that is made obligatory upon us are the salawatul maktubah, the prayers, the obligatory prayers, the five daily prayers that have been written upon us, for they are the umda, they are the foundation of this religion. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, as part of his advice to Sayyidina Abu Darda, he said, لَا تَتْرُكَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ الْمَكْتُوبَةَ مُتَعَمِّدًا. He said, do not ever abandon a prescribed prayer, مُتَعَمِّدًا, deliberately. Because if you do it in a state of ghafla, if you do it in a state of nisyan, if you do it in a state of forgetfulness or sleeping or something, then you're not held accountable. But if you of your own willing accord decide to say, I'm not going to pray, and from the protection and preservation of prayer is praying the prayer on its recommended time. But if you allow the time to elapse and you say, I'm not going to pray, I don't need to pray, then you have left the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of his most pertinent advices. Alongside the pertinent advice with regards to salah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave his special advice to Sayyidina Mu'adh. In fact, he preceded this advice by telling Mu'adh that he loved him. And after telling him he loved him, he said, Ya Mu'adh, أوسيك أن لا تدعنا في دبر كل صلاة أن تقوله اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. He said, O Mu'adh, I advise you that you do not give abandonment at the end of every single one of your prayers to make this dua, اللهم أعني على ذكرك. O Allah, help me in remembering you. O Allah, help me in recognition of you. وشكرك, and help me in giving thanks to you. وحسن عبادتك, and help me in having a good opinion of your slaves. And the sign of such dhikr working, when we say Allahumma inni ala dhikrik, the sign of such dhikr working is that it imbues the person, the dhakir making dhikr, with a khuluq, a husnul khuluq, the best of characters. And so this is the example of those who make much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why from the advice, from the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, he said, وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and meet the people with the best of character. So brothers and sisters, this embodiment of the Prophet ﷺ was kamil, was shamil, was whole, was complete, in the sense that this is what this deen wants from us. It wants us to have khuluqun hasanun. It wants us to have beautiful characters. It wants us to fulfill the rights, the hukuk of those upon us. And at the forefront of those who have rights upon us are our parents. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to display ihsan to them. For he says, وَوَصَّيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. And surely we have enjoined upon man to show towards his parents ihsana, excellent, kind treatment. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasized this with regards to parents by saying, وَأَطِعْ وَالِدَيْكَ. He said, obey them, be kind to them, don't disobey them. And as the Quran says, do not say to them, uff. Do not say uff. And so this idea of obeying them comes from what is known as silatul rahim, comes from known as adhering to the connections of the wombs. As the name itself implies, the rahim also has within it rahmah. Because the ability for us to honor our relationships and our intimate relationships is a direct testament to the ability of rahmah we have in our lives, the mercy that is in our hearts. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ, as well as in the hadith, said that irhamu man fil ard, يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Show mercy to those in the earth, and the one who will show mercy in the heavens, one in the heavens will show mercy unto you. And so the real test of maintaining family ties is that when it's difficult, when we find we can't do it, when we find there's bitterness and grudges, that we're able to make turn our backs against this state or these states and turn to Allah out of faithfulness to Allah. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi." He said the person who's obtaining the silatul rahim, the wasil, is not the one who does it for mukafi, for the state of one who does it so he can be recompensed by his relatives. So he does good, so he does good, gets good back. He scratches one in English idiom, scratch your back so you can scratch my back. No, that's not the person of wasil. Not, that's not the person of silatul rahim. Rather, the person of silatul rahim, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Walakin al-wasilu alladhi idha qutiat rahimahu wasalaha." The wasil, the one who truly joins the silatul rahim, is the one who, when bonds of kinship are torn away or severed from him, someone's angry with him, someone refuses to talk to him, then he says, "Rahima waslaha." He never does the same. He persists in maintaining the bonds of kinship. Why? Because he's in it for Allah. Because this is the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and because he is in his relationships for the sake of Allah. And so from this criterion of being in relationships for the sake of Allah is from the wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with how we should be as men with our women folk. And that's why one of the most pertinent advices and the most repetitive advice the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave towards the end in Hajjatul Wada, the last Hajj, when he made the announcement and he gave the khutbah, the final khutbah at that point, and he said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra," act kindly towards your women. So brothers, this is for the brothers, and all the brothers especially who are married, as husbands we have been tasked with the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do good, to be good to our women. And what does good mean? Good here means in accordance with what the Quran tells us, which is وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, to live with them in ma'ruf, kindness, all things that are customarily known as kindness. And this kindness, if we can actualize in our marital lives, this kindness if we can actualize in our homes, then our homes themselves become a alama, a sign from the signs of Islam. Our homes itself become a sign of the signs of Iman. And so the people who are around our homes, the jar, the neighbors, will come to know this karam, this nobility that was imparted to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would emphasize the extending of this kindness to our neighbors by saying, "Usikum bil jar." He says, "I give you wasiyya, special advice, to take care of your neighbors." And in fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was himself given wasiyya by Jibreel alayhi salam, by the angel Gabriel, who gave him advice. In fact, until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma zala yusini Jibreel biljar," he said, "My Jibreel, archangel Gabriel, did not cease reminding me about the rights and the kindness that is owed to the neighbor, hatta dhanantu annahu sayuwarithuhu, until I felt that he will soon confer upon him via revelation that the neighbor gets the right of inheritance." Subhanallah, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying. And so from the honoring of the neighbor is to just simple things, just learning to partake of food, learning to partake of glad tidings, asking about their private lives, how are you doing, how's everything going, how are the kids. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself emphasized these simple things. He said, "Idha tabakhta maraqan fa akthir ma'ahu." He said, "Whenever you prepare a broth in your house, then increase its gravy, increase its water. Thumma andhur ahla baytin min jiranika fa asibhum minha bima'roof." He said, "And then have in your mind the members of your household, and also those of their neighbors, of their neighbors as well, and then give them out of that, this extra gravy or extra food that you've cooked, out of ma'roof, out of good courtesy, out of this kindness." So brothers and sisters, we can see just from the brief things we've covered the all-encompassing nature of the character and wasiyah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his advice. And let us not forget that one of the most pertinent things he would constantly advise us was to guard our tongue and limbs. And so when a sahabi asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some advice, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered him by saying, "Hal tamliku lisanak?" Do you own your tongue? Qala, and so he responded, فَمَا أَمْلِكُ إِذَا لَمْ أَمْلِكُهُ. He said, what will I own if I don't own my own tongue? قَالَ أَتَمْلِكُ يَدَكُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you own your hand? قَالَ فَمَاذَا أَمْلِكُ إِذَا لَمْ أَمْلِكْ يَدِي. He said, what do I own if I do not own my hand? قَالَ فَلَا تَقُلْ بِلِسَانِكَ إِلَّا مَعْرُوفَ وَلَا تَبْسُطْ يَدَكَ إِلَّا إِلَى خَيْرٍ. The Prophet ﷺ then said, upon the man responding by saying, what will I own if I don't own my tongue? What will I own if I don't own my hands? In other words, the man thought, of course I own my hands, of course I own my tongue. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, if you truly own your tongue, in brackets, then don't say with your tongue except that which is good. And don't move your hand towards anything except that which is good. In other words, this is the yardstick. Do you really own your tongue? Or is your egoic self, the one that runs away from you, the one that drives you through your hawa to everything other than kulli shay'in siwa, to everything other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of you, is that what you are really a abid of? Is that what you're really worshipping? أَرَأَيْتُ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you not seen the person who takes his real desire of worship, his real thing that he worships, his own vain selfish desires? And so the Prophet ﷺ is calling us through this to the state of muraqabah, and the state from his wasiyah of guarding our limbs. Another thing he said in regards to this is that he said, لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا. He said, let not any one of you insult anyone else. Right? And he said, do not make yourself bereft of that which is good, and do not meet your brother except that you are of the best of demeanor. He said, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَصِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهَكَ. Don't meet your brother except that you're mumbasit, except that you're someone cheerful, except you're someone of good. So to conclude this khutbah, one of the things the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is narrated on the authority of Abu Huraira, who says, "Awsani khalili." Abu Huraira said, "My most beloved gave me the advice." He said he gave me the advice of bithalathin, of three things. La ad'uhunna hatta amut. And Abu Huraira says, "I will not leave these three things that the Prophet gave me as advice until I die." Sawmu thalathati ayyamin min kulli shahr, which is the fasting of 3 days from every month. And then he said, وَصَلَاتِ الضُّحَى, and to never leave the صَلَاتِ الضُّحَى. وَنَوْمٍ عَلَى وِتْرٍ, and to not go to sleep except that I've prayed witr. Now this is a hadith from Abu Huraira, and brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ emphasized fasting, and he emphasized fasting, these nawafil fasts. Then what about the most beautiful of days that we could fast from, the nawafil, the day of Arafah? We're going to come where we are in these most beautiful days, these ashara, these 10 beautiful days, but the most excellent of the excellent, the most beautiful of the beautiful will be Yawm al-Arafah, because it is the day that we have come to know our Lord. It is the day that we are chosen. When we were chosen, all the souls were laid in front of their Lord, and our Lord says, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? They said, قَالُوا بَلَى شَهِدْنَا, they testify to that witnessing. That is the day of Arafah. And that day of Arafah has symbolic reference and reoccurring reference throughout our tradition, throughout our history, and is the most blessed day. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, أحتسب على الله أن يكفر سنة التي قبله وسنة التي بعده. He said to fast on this day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I believe that, I hope from Allah that fasting on the day of Arafah will make expiation, will remove all the sins of the year that came before and all the sins of the year that came afterwards. So let us not waste this opportunity. This khutbah finds us in approaching Arafah. And those of you who hear this, prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts, prepare yourselves for this blessed day, a day when we turn to Him with all of our entirety, asking Him for forgiveness for ourselves, asking Him for afia, for kindness and leniency, asking Him for well-being for the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so I ask Allah the Almighty to bestow upon us from His vast bounty and generous kindness the ability to embody this advice from our Sayyidina, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وسلم, that he allows us to actualize our humanity, that we become from the ibad, the ibadur rahman, those purely devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those that are devoutly obedient to him, and to enable us to be of service to the way of his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those he has ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke him for forgiveness, for he is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Salaamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.